Welcome to the Steelers But I Like podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Saturday morning?
James, I'm going to be honest with you, my guy. I'm very comfortable.
Yeah, man.
I got a new chair. Look at that new chair.
Okay. Yeah, that's a nice good chair, bro.
But no, I'm good. It's Saturday. There's no work. Again, I feel like I'm always talking about work, but we're not going to talk about it today. That was it. But I'm doing fantastic. Busy day ahead of me, but that's okay. How are you, James?
Man, I'm feeling good. It's bitter cold outside, and I'm planning on not going out there maybe the entire weekend if I can avoid it.
Fair enough. You'd rather stay home and play games anyways. Let's be real.
That's it, man. Maybe I'll get a lift in later. I don't know.
There you go. You got to get those gains, my guy. Get those gains. I'm going to the gym after this. So.
Oh, there you go. Attaboy.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about some gains the Pittsburgh Steelers organization is getting these days, huh?
Fair enough, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Straight into it. We've got a defensive coordinator since we talked to you guys last, one Mr. Terrell Austin, who really did a nice job, I thought, with some of these secondary guys. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick basically almost got chased out of town in Miami. He comes to Pittsburgh. We get Terrell Austin as the defensive backs coach. Turns him into an all-star safety, you know, and basically with his tutelage helps him become the potential of what he could be, which was a two-time All-Pro and Pro Bowler in his first two full seasons with Pittsburgh. Last year, he kind of had to babysit all the the guys with tough mismatches, so he didn't get the opportunity.
We're not going to talk about it.
And then when you look at last year, too, you know, acquiring Akilah Witherspoon partway into the season, mm-hmm. and him looking uncomfortable at first, and then getting really comfortable. And when talked about it in interviews, absolutely three interceptions in half a season. He gives all the credit to Minkah Fitzpatrick and Terrell Austin on helping him become comfortable in that outside cornerback role with the Steelers, knowing where he's supposed to be and when he can take chances and all that. So I think some of the development that we've seen on some of these players, and also even Terrell Edmonds, let's be real, he struggled pretty heavily his first few years with Pittsburgh and started to become a moderately reliable safety. To where you didn't really look at him as much of a casualty in most games. He had some stinkers here and there, but who doesn't? You know, we all have bad days at work. just to see many more good days than bad days from Terrell Edmonds, I think also speaks to the level of coaching ability from Mr. Terrell Austin. So I'm excited to see what he can do. Let's get him some more high-round talent, you know, maybe another first-round corner or bring in somebody in free agency, and let's see what this guy can really do. You know?
Listen, unless we have two first-round draft picks this year, we should not be drafting any cornerbacks. Why? We still need an offensive line, James.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I don't know if I want a corner or an offensive lineman in the first round, but I know it probably needs to be one of them.
It needs to be. It does. I can't disagree with that by any means. Also, since we talked to you guys last, TJ Watt was officially named, this being over a week ago. We apologize for it being late, but TJ Watt is officially Defensive Player of the Year.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Could have been two times, but that's okay.
That's all right.
He can still get two times, three times, four times, four.
Easy.
Pulling LeBron James? Not one.
Yeah, man.
Not two. Not three. All right, whatever. That's fine.
Yeah, I think this guy can win it as long as he's in the league, to be honest with you, because I feel like at this point in his career, 15 is the bar with sacks. Like, he's going to get at least 15 sacks a year.
Which is wild. Wild.
It's crazy, yeah. Potentially halfway through next season, if he goes on a regular pace of what he's done the last three seasons, he's going to pass every Steeler in all-time history in sacks.
Dang.
Which is incredible. This will be what, his sixth year with the team, and he'll be the sack leader in all time history for the team
with probably another good 6 years left,
maybe more. Some of those outside linebackers and pass rushers play into their mid 30s.
I agree. I said good 6 years.
I see what you're saying.
He's got a solid 8 years, 9 years.
I mean, Harrison was like 38, 39 before he finally hung it up.
Okay, but Harrison is. Harrison's a different animal. TJ Watt is a better athlete than him, but James Harrison is a different animal.
Dude still looks like he could play.
He spent $135,000 a year on keeping his body ready. like on acupuncture.
Yeah, he did everything.
Everything.
He did acupuncture. He was on every possible thing he could do. All the nutrition supplements.
Yep.
The personal trainers. He probably had dietitians too. Just incredible,
bro. He had a chef at home. You know that. You know he had a chef at home cooking all of his meals.
He might have. It wouldn't surprise me. Mm. Near the later years when he was only making like $1 or 2 million a year, maybe not, but
yeah.
I bet through most of the career. Bet through most of it.
Probably. So with that being said, Steelers now have 8 total Defensive Player of the Year awards by 7 different players. That's it. No other team has more than how many?
4.
and you're to clarify, you're saying 4 winners.
Total awards.
So whether it be by one team.
Player. Yeah.
What can we say?
Doubling them up. Doubling them up, baby.
What can we say?
Like this franchise does, man. We double up. We're just better than everybody else.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm just not at winning games this year.
Well, hey. Second best in the division.
Hey, I'll take it. We'll take it. In a division like ours, I'll take that. I'll take that.
And we were second to the team that went to the Super Bowl and lost. That ain't too bad a company, man.
Nah. I still would have.
Yeah.
People are.
And the only division, or the only team in the division we struggled with, too, because we swept the other 2 clowns.
Yep. How it is.
Just calling facts, buddy. These are facts.
So, I mean, we're obviously. We're
talking facts this morning.
Yeah, obviously, you already stated it. Rams did beat the Bengals in the Super Bowl. I was rooting. Yeah. I was rooting for the Bengals. I can't lie.
Yeah. Which is just horrible in my book.
I know. I'm sorry.
We still love you, Cody.
That's fair. I'm not even going to go into it. I just didn't want certain players to get rings. Although I'm super happy for Matthew Stafford, even though he got caught looking like a fool. Did you see that? You didn't see that video.
No.
A reporter at the Super Bowl parade party, whatever celebration, or a photographer fell off the stage and Stafford saw her and immediately like turned around and walked away. She fractured her spine.
Ugh.
And he just turned and walked away from it. Like, that's a bad look. I understand that. What's he going to do? But the fact he showed like no immediate concern and like to help or to like anything. It was a bad look. I'm not saying he's a horrible person for it or anything like that. I'm not saying that. Like some people,
what the hell was she doing? She fell off of a stage.
So she was photographing people on the stage, and she was standing in front, getting the like almost audience view or whatever. And something happened, and she just went off the back, and it had to have been like a misstep by a couple inches because you see her move just a hair, and then she falls, and yeah, she fractured her freaking spine.
Ouch.
Yeah. So, but I am happy that Matthew Stafford got a Super Bowl win and victory. Cooper Kupp, man. Holy cow.
You know what was really backbreaking in that game, though, was that no look pass that Stafford had to Kupp at the end. Oh, that was nasty.
Wow.
Looking to his right and throwing over the middle of the field, hitting Cooper Kupp in stride and taking him right down the field for what was the eventual game winning score, you know?
Yeah.
Just, pretty impressive stuff from Stafford and Kupp in the game.
Yeah.
They really, really were very impressive. Unlike the Rams' rushing offense, which is crazy. But
yikes.
Yeah.
1.9 average.
The Bengals' defense, though, they're decent against the run, just not so much against the pass.
Yeah.
You got to figure on that in their mind in the season here.
Say that again?
I mean, if they don't do something about their offense, you got to figure the Bengals are going to focus on their secondary and their offensive line in the postseason here because realistically their secondary let them down. You know, guys like Eli Apple are just not really starting caliber corners, and that was exposed pretty badly in the Super Bowl. But also their offensive line is just not good.
Yeah.
They're good at run blocking. And again, I feel like this is a common thing in the AFC North right now with our opponents, you know, is that like the Browns, their offensive line, very good at run blocking, but have no problem giving up 9 sacks to the Steelers. The Ravens let up 7 sacks to the Steelers. And then here it is, the Bengals let up 7 sacks in the Super Bowl and 9 in one of the playoff games.
Yep.
You can't expect your quarterback to be healthy all the time if you're getting him hit that many times, especially in a Super Bowl, for crying out loud. If you can't keep your quarterback clean in a Super Bowl, chances of you winning are not good. So they really need to reconstruct that offensive line if they want to continue in that path. So obviously for our sake, we kind of hope they don't, but I can't imagine that they won't. At pick 31, I won't be surprised if the Bengals take whatever the best offensive lineman is on the board at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, someone did a fake mock draft, and I say fake because it's obviously not real, but they're like, tackle, tackle, guard, guard, center, tackle, guard, center. It's like, oh, man, that's funny.
I saw one for Pittsburgh recently where all seven rounds were quarterback.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, one of them's got a hit, just right?
Being funny.
Oh, I know. Yeah. One of them's got a hit.
Yeah. All right, that goes back to the Washington Redskins when that was the team, and they did RG3 in the first round and came back with Kirk Cousins. Quarterback in the two. If they didn't take him in the same draft, then they would have been looking again later on down the road.
Yeah, RG3 and Kirk Cousins, you're saying, were the draft of the same draft?
Yeah, same draft class. First round for RG3, Cousins was like third or fourth round.
Jeez, that's funny. Well, it is what it is. Moving on, Steelers have a new offensive line coach. Finally.
He's got a pretty nice resume.
Say it again.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Now we
can. I said, and he's got a pretty nice resume, man. Success at previous teams he was at.
Yeah, he recently was with the Carolina Panthers.
49 years old. He's not super old.
No, not at all. Not at all. 49 is a good age. But recently with the Panthers, before that he's with the Chargers, he spent a lot of time with a bunch of college teams as strength and conditioning coordinator or strength and conditioning coach, which is huge for our offensive line right now. And then he was with the Chargers for a lot of the good years. Well, even, I mean, they're still good years with Austin Eckler and then even Christian McCaffrey in Carolina. I mean, granted, he can't stay healthy, but
yeah,
good resume. And he's got Najee to work with, so it's not like he doesn't have talent. Let's be real.
Yeah. The quarterback play that he had to deal with at Carolina was pretty bad, honestly. And he still was able to put together a good running game with that team. So when you're a one-dimensional team and you're still running the ball well, your coach ought to get some credit for that. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's kind of it for Steelers.
I like
news.
It. I think it's a good quality signing. Yeah, I think that's a good quality signing, and it's a good direction. If you're out now with coach staff, I would assume they'll probably hire a defensive backs coach to replace Terrell Austin. I don't know if any of the guys that they interviewed on other teams for the DC position that were previously defensive backs coach on their teams will be interested. If they are, I wouldn't be surprised to see them come to town.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Moving on, that's kind of it for Steelers news. Leading up to the East-West Shrine Game, which was also about a week ago. It's actually before the Super Bowl, but we wanted to go over one game at a time with you guys, so we went over the Senior Bowl last week, or week and a half ago, and now it's time to go over the East-West Shrine Game, which we rewatched last night. We watched it together last night. A lot of good talent in this game, if you're asking me. I think there are players that could easily be drafted higher than they probably went into that game at. So
Yeah, there's a few guys really stuck out to us in this game. A couple of tight ends, a couple of wide receivers, and honestly, maybe one of the best performances of any of the guys. There was a safety on the one team, really stuck out, making some clutch plays, hits against the run and against the pass, breaking things up, forcing fumbles, hitting people right at the sticks and driving them backwards, put together a nice performance. And you figure usually these guys in the East-West Shrine Bowl, top end is like fourth or fifth round usually. But we've seen in the past, if you play real well in that game, sometimes you get drafted a little higher, kind of like Javon Hargrave did for Pittsburgh. Had a real nice performance when he was in the East-West Shrine Game and then ended up actually getting an opportunity to play in the Senior Bowl the following week, because at that time they were on subsequent weeks, East-West first week and then the second week was Senior Bowl. So he got an opportunity to go there and really showed out. So the safety that we're talking about is Wanye Thomas, 6'5", 207 pounds. 32-inch long arms, so he's got the right length of what you would expect on a guy 6 foot tall. Really was just hitting people hard and making all kinds of plays. So this is a guy that I think if Pittsburgh were looking to get a safety in that third or fourth round area, it's somebody that would really be worth taking a look at. If you don't bring back Terrell Edmonds, he fits that hard-hitting safety kind of role that you could stick next to Minka and is about the same size as Minka. We saw Minka making lots of great tackles last year. I felt he really improved his tackling ability. I think he even ended up leading the team in tackles, which is scary because that should be a linebacker's job. But yeah, Wanya Thomas, thought he really put together a real nice game. Looking forward to seeing some reviews and seeing how he does at the NFL Combine here in about a week and a half. See what his 40 time looks like in his vertical and some of those explosion numbers, because obviously you're not looking for a subpar athlete, but he didn't look like one in the game at all. He looked like a pretty dang good athlete.
No, and the best thing about him was he understood where the line to gain was. He understood where the end zone line was. He made plays twice on a drive, not back-to-back plays, but a single play in between the plays. One was an out pass where the receiver probably would have gotten into the end zone, or the running back, whichever it was. Was getting tackled from behind, and then he came up and just lowered his shoulder and drove him back. And it was great. Did the same thing on a run. The safety came up and actually was the main reason I think that that running back didn't get into the end zone, and then had a beautiful tackle later on where it was a nice hit, but then he didn't just push through. Like, he didn't do the thing where the pinball that we saw, you know, Minka and Terrell Edmonds do all freaking season, where you run into somebody real hard and they bounce off and keep running. No, he wrapped up and drove through. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, perfect form, right? Like, he led with his shoulder. He wrapped up. He grabbed a leg and lifted it up while driving him backwards so the guy couldn't really fight him. It's basically a picture-perfect form tackle that you're seeing while bringing the wood and really hitting somebody at the same time. So you love to see somebody use proper tackling form and force at the same time, because that's how you're going to be successful in the NFL. Realistically, these guys are a lot bigger and stronger. If you don't use proper form while bringing the hammer while you're hitting somebody, you're just not going to get them to the ground. So really, really, I thought it was an impressive performance.
Yeah. But speaking of bringing the wood, Jelani Woods, man. Hey,
that's a good transition, buddy. That's a good transition. Guy.
This guy was tight end. Large. He was a large man.
Yeah, stuck out on the tape here when you were watching it as how much bigger he was than everybody else, you know? Yeah,
6 foot six.
And a half.
And 6 foot almost 6'7".
That's 259 with 34-inch long arms. That's fantastic length for a tight end. Imagine the catch radius of a guy like that. You really almost don't have to get it super close for him to be able to catch it. And he showed that in the game. You know, he showed soft hands, a good willingness to block. We saw him with a couple of run blocks where it looked like he did a great job of walling people off and understanding you don't necessarily have to drive somebody into the ground. You just have to turn your butt and keep your body between the running back and the defender. And I thought he looked like a pro-ready type tight end. Cody and I have talked about this in the past, that we don't think tight end is a position that Pittsburgh should prioritize in this draft. But if one of these guys that's got a well-rounded game is available in the sixth and seventh round, and everybody else that's available is somebody that is a backup at best, and this guy could be a number two tight end for you, man, you got to take a flyer on a guy like that, because Gentry's going into the last year of his rookie deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And this guy, I mean, if he happens to land in Pittsburgh's lap for some reason, again, I don't think that a tight end should be a position focused on it. And even remotely thought about before the fifth or sixth round. And even then, it's still not a high enough position to need with Pat Freiermuth and Zach Gentry. There's enough players in the league and free agency or whatever, Kevin Radar as well. You could get by without drafting one. I completely am saying that. But this guy would be a solid number two in a year or two to Pat Freiermuth, who we already plan on being the future. You know, I think that Pittsburgh drafted him, expecting him to be with us for 10, 15 years. So I don't know. Wherever this guy goes, I'm definitely going to keep my eye open, because he's going to be making highlights probably fairly quick in the league.
Yeah, you figure a guy like that, such a big target and an easy mover. He didn't look like a slow athlete by any means. Quarterbacks love a big target. and you know, a guy with decent hands to go with it. Hey, that's an exciting name to watch. One of the wide receivers that stuck out in this game was Devontae Martin. He was 6'1", 188 pounds, 32 3/8 inch long arms. And what really stuck out about him was he was fighting for extra yards every time he caught the ball.
Every time.
You love to see that. You know, we had that with both James Washington and Juju Smith-Schuster, guys that fought for every inch when they got the ball. So you know that's a trait that Pittsburgh loves in a wide receiver. Usually guys like that are pretty good at blocking as well, which is, again, something that Pittsburgh values out of their wide receivers. Because you've noticed that when the Steelers' wide receivers don't block well, the run play just doesn't work because those corners come in and clean it up, grab the ankles of Najee, and then somebody gets them down.
Yep.
So you got to have wide receivers that not only can catch and are willing to fight for first downs and extra yards and get you those couple extra inches, but do the dirty work in the running game as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was impressed with him. I can't say basically everything you said was what I would have said about him. Really nice hands, really good look at the fighting for extra yards, because that's what sticks out to people watching these games is who's going to actually fight for the yards. Who's going to actually put forth the effort. There was one wide receiver that did a horrible job of trying to reach for a first down. And that's noticeable to people. This guy was fighting for every yard, and that's big. That's big when it comes to, you know, your draft stock, what your evaluation is, all that stuff. Quarterback room though, freaking Jack
Jack Cohn out of Notre Dame. I was the starting quarterback for one of the teams, and just right down the field, man, 10 of 13 in the game, the very first touchdown pass of the game as well. Just looked like a guy with a good, strong arm and good decision-making. You saw him, visibly saw him going through his progressions and looking off of one receiver to another. Just looked very pro-ready. So again, this is not going to be like a first round pick type quarterback. But if Pittsburgh were to take a shot on a quarterback later, again, maybe third, fourth round or later, something like that, maybe Jack Cohn's available. Maybe he has a little bit more upwards potential than what you might see on the roster currently. Right size, 2'6", 3'2", 17, right? You're looking for that kind of size in a quarterback.
Absolutely.
Typically, you're not looking for shorter dudes, so he's got enough height to be able to see over the line more times than not. So I don't know if you had any other thought on him, but I thought he looked pretty decent an East-West quarterback.
Yeah, just that one play that we saw where they showed the like end zone view where you got to watch him go through the progressions was really nice to see, because he looked at something, and if he realized it wasn't there, he didn't waste any time going through the progressions. A lot of these younger guys will know where they want to go or know what they want to do, and when it's not there, they'll try to wait for it. And he wasn't waiting, which was very, very mature of him to go through his progressions like that. So that was really good to see. That's it.
There was a off-ball linebacker in this game wearing number 41. For the darker colored jersey team. Mm-hmm. We did not get a height weight. Unfortunately, he didn't weigh in, apparently. Must have been a late arrival or something. But James Houston was his name. His speed and ability to accelerate through a hole was very impressive. Mm-hmm. He kind of did a little bit of everything. The one commentator said that he was getting some comparisons to his style of play being similar to Micah Parsons, where you could line him up as a middle linebacker or an edge rusher, and he's effective in both positions. But it looked like he had a really good nose for the ball and instincts as far as getting in between cracks and crevices in the offensive line to hit a ball carrier behind the line of scrimmage and really stress offensive tackles with his speed rush capability on the outside too. So some serious athleticism. I would love to see what he ends up with measurable wise when he goes to the combine, assuming that he gets an invite.
Yeah.
But really splashed and showed well in this game, I thought.
Yeah. The one thing that I'll say about him is if Pittsburgh winds up picking him up, the large benefit there is whenever they run that stupid offset formation where you have Alex Highsmith and TJ on the same side of the field, that helps you level that out a little bit. If you have a middle linebacker, an off-ball linebacker that can actually play edge and play edge well, that makes a difference in that formation specifically. So that was my immediate thought when thinking of him. If he's a later round draft pick, wouldn't mind it. Mm-hmm. Next guy reminds me a lot of you, James. Mr. Pierre Strong,
Listen, so my cousin had himself a nice game here. And I'm going to call him my cousin because we got to be related somehow, right? Same last name. Let's go, Pierre. Let's go, Pierre. So we didn't actually see Pierre get involved a lot in this game, but what stuck out like a sore thumb was his team running a screen pass from their own 35-yard line and him just weaving through all the traffic and taking it the entire way to the house, baby. With the way Pittsburgh struggled running back screens last year and really in previous years as well, a guy with that kind of instincts who's able to make people miss and really be patient behind blockers, and he did it the whole way down the field.
Yeah.
Because you got down to like the 15-yard line and he had a wide receiver and a DB and he didn't try to outrun everyone. He just stayed behind him and was patient and, you know, went right, went left, whatever he got from the wide receiver versus the DB until he got in the end zone.
Yeah.
So it looked like a guy with some real nice speed at 5'11", 203, a little bit slender on the build, but it's easy to put some muscle on. But plenty of speed, acceleration, and great vision. So a change of pace guy for Pittsburgh is what I would see as a best case scenario for him. And again, Cody and I don't think that Pittsburgh should be prioritizing running back.
I was like, disclaimer, that's like we don't think they should draft a running back.
Yeah, this is the big headline here is we don't want Pittsburgh drafting a running back. But
if he goes if this is somebody that, or
undrafted or a seventh round flyer, you know, hey, I get it. You know, you're running back room, as far as the depth, didn't show us enough last year.
Nope.
Najee had a nice season. You know, there's plenty to build on there. He's got plenty of athleticism.
He had a Pro Bowl
good vision,
season.
Good strength. Yeah. 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 Easily could be argued he should have been in the Pro Bowl, right?
I mean, he was in the Pro Bowl, but he was a backup. He was an alternate, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Could have easily been a first team guy, but got in there based off of how good he was. So, you know, let's just see where this goes, but it just stuck out because that's an opportunity where Pittsburgh needs to perform better. And clearly this guy, given the highlights and the bright lights were not too big for him, and he made it happen in an all-star game. So hats off to Pierre Strong showing out well.
Yeah. Next guy on the list, Tyquan.
Tyquan Thornton.
Tyquan Thornton. Quick guy.
Very holy cow, we saw him make some tremendous catches and one very, very awesome almost catch in this game. On the sideline. Was it number 18 he was wearing, Cody?
Was 18. We actually saw him make almost two great catches. The one was the diving catch that unfortunately hit the ground before he could reel it in, but still great ability to put his body out there to go for the ball. And then the other one was like a tipped one that he wound up catching with his back on the sideline or whatever. Did a really good job of maintaining focus and ball and, you know, contact with the ball and made a catch. Unfortunately, he was out of bounds. But yeah, Tyquan Thornton, very, very similar to a Deontay Johnson type of agility, quickness level, even a little bit on the size there. Well, he's a little bit taller, isn't he?
A lot taller, yeah, but thin like Deontay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, 6'2", 177 pounds. He's thin, but you see that speed and ability to separate from a defensive back that you're looking for. So he could be a field stretcher kind of guy, which is what Pittsburgh really needs right now, honestly. But at the top of the route, when the ball is coming, do you have the ability to separate from the DB and make the catch? He showed that in this game. Again, this is not like the best competition, but it is an all-star game. This is against guys that are expected to play in the league.
Yeah.
So it's a nice step in the right direction. We do think Pittsburgh will probably take a wide receiver somewhere in the draft. I don't think either one of us hopes that it's a first or second round, but I think third round and later, it starts to come into the realm of possibility.
They love the third round wide receivers.
Yeah. Yeah. Second and third, man, they just clean up in those rounds. But yeah, I hope they don't do it that high just because of the need at other positions being so great. But this is a guy showed that enough there that it really grabbed your attention.
Yeah. Next guy on the list.
Next. Yes. Out of Navy.
I forgot his name.
Diego Fago. Fago, guys, pronounce this correctly, please.
F-A-G-O-T, Fago.
If his play on the field didn't help you remember his name and how to pronounce it correctly, then the stat line would. Because honestly, Diego was all over the place. Good size, 6'2", 237 for an off-ball linebacker. Baby face on the kid. Holy cow, oh, he looks like he's like 17. Yeah. But that's probably just that Navy background. You're probably shaving every other hour just to make sure it's perfectly clean.
But I don't know what that's like.
Hey, Diego's... Yeah, me either, bro. I haven't been clean shaven in like 8 years. But... Yeah, Diego really had a nice game, played well against the run, played well in the passing defense, was really all over the place, and even a couple of times put some really nice hits while keeping it clean. He got an opportunity to really crush a quarterback on a play where he was scrambling to the right. Diego was covering a running back or somebody in the flat. The quarterback was kind of looking down the field. He peeled off and came in and hit him. Hit him hard but clean. Led with the shoulder, put the shoulder in the chest of the quarterback to keep it low. And you know what? He kind of hats off to him for showing some good overall capability in the game, a mid-round potential kind of guy that you wouldn't be upset with. I would assume he would excel on special teams. He actually showed well in special teams in this game, too. So even if he wasn't your starting middle linebacker next to Devin Bush, it's somebody that you could put out there and immediately get contributions on special teams.
Oh, absolutely. The next guy we're going to talk about is Kyler McMichael. Now, this is a cornerback, 6 foot, 205 pounds. Had a very nice breakup on one of the plays across the middle of the field, and then unfortunately got beat twice later in the game quite badly. Yeah. But the one breakup was notable and it was good.
Yeah. And I feel like it was his aggressiveness of play that cost him. You know, a lot of times in these games, defensive backs play it safe, let the guy have the catch, make the tackle, don't do anything too crazy, don't get burned. This guy went after it on the second play that was notable, where he did not get the tackle right away. He ended up recovering and making the tackle. He made a play for the ball and missed it by inches and was visibly very upset with himself for not making the play. And then hit on a double move, which happens to everybody. Yep. But I like the aggressiveness and the this is the kind of guy that if you did have him as a starting corner, would probably get you 3 or 4 interceptions a year. But you're going to see some touchdowns given up too, just because he is going to try to make the play.
Yeah.
But looked like he had the athleticism to hang with the guys in this game. So someone worth looking at in the future because he's got the right size, good aggressiveness, and physicality. So let's see what he can do when he gets to the combine. You know, does he run fast or not? Is this something that you can coach up? Because aggressiveness is not really something that gets coached better.
Nope.
So you can work on technique and you can help him get out of his breaks a little quicker and turn those attempted breakups into INTs and breakups. But you got the right ball of clay to start off with, a nice size guy with good athleticism. So it'll be very interesting to see how he does in the future of this process here.
Yeah.
A wide receiver with some nice future, Samori Toure.
Yes, Samori. Two touchdowns.
Whew.
Two of them. That's phenomenal.
That's, in an all-star game where it was 24-25, and you got two touchdowns. Man, you're the leading scorer, buddy. Yeah, 24-25.
I thought there was 35.
Pretty sure it was 24-25 at the end.
I think it was 30-something.
I know it was a one-point game.
All right, keep talking about, keep talking about him.
Anyway, so Samori really showed some awesome ability on his route running, breaking in and out of routes, and then also juking up players. His first touchdown, he caught the ball on the left side and was a couple yards away from the end zone, made the guy that was attempting to come miss and got himself into the end zone. So just a good short area quickness with the size of 6'2", 191. That's a nice size to a wide receiver. So he showed a lot of potential, a good nose for the end zone and understanding of where other players were and ability to make a miss in quick areas to get the extra yards or even get past the play.
Yeah, I was impressed with his like you already said, the route running, the quickness, the ability, just the pure athleticism that he had was what stuck out to me on that player specifically. I'm trying to still get this score.
Well, we'll move to the next guy while you're looking for the score. Brock Purdy showed himself a nice game at the quarterback position. The last two guys we're going to talk about, a couple quarterbacks. that played later on in this game. Brock at 6 foot, 212 pounds, really showed the ability to scramble well, and a pretty decent arm as well. Showed out well near the end of the game, where your offensive line play is not always going to be that great. Good scrambling ability, and really tenacity trying to get every yard that he could. So I thought nice performance out of Brock, but not as good as EJ Perry, who is the co-MVP of this game with Diego Fago, the linebacker that we talked about previously. EJ Perry had 3 touchdown passes for his team.
3.
Leading him all the way back to the 1-point loss and almost to victory in this
25-24, game. 25-24, you were correct. I don't know where I thought it was 30-something. Whatever.
Yeah. Maybe you played a game of Madden in between.
Maybe I did. Yo, but here's the thing. And not to go back and not to take away from Perry at all. Perry played phenomenal. Both the tight end we talked about earlier and the wide receiver had onside kick recoveries.
Oh, that's right.
Just saying.
That's right. That's a good point.
Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Woods. And then what was it? Thornton had the other one? Or was it
Thornton? No, it was Thornton.
It was Thornton?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the kind of clutch plays that you're looking for, right? Because in this game, it got out of control real early with the one team getting pretty far up. And it was all the points that were scored by the losing team were late in the game, third and fourth quarter.
Yep.
So they just started kicking onside kicks to see if they could win it. Real nice opportunity to kicker to show he can execute it. And for both the receiving team and the kicking team to show their abilities coverage-wise and trying to get after it. But it was the receiving team that showed the better ability on these plays.
And I thought the kicker did a good job, to clarify.
Yeah, perfectly executed play. It's all about, you know, luck and how it bounces. But his kicks were right where they needed to be both times.
Yep. Yep, I can't agree more.
So EJ Perry was 6'1 and a half, 212 pounds. So a little on the undersize. But again, in a game where you need to show what you've got, he showed out. 3 touchdown passes in an all-star game. Very impressive.
Yeah, we take those. As Kirk Cousins would say, you like that. No, that wasn't Kirk. Was that Kirk?
A little more emphasis, though, right?
You like that. I think that was Kirk.
yeah.
But again, great game. If you guys haven't seen the highlights, go look them up. If you want to keep track of the names that we talk about, maybe potential draft stock for them with Pittsburgh or other teams and whatever, you guys can write those down or even message us, ask us about it, tweet at us, whatever. We'll talk to you guys. We'd love it. Make sure you guys are keeping track on all things. Oh, you got something else.
I do. Yeah. So we got some upcoming episodes. Obviously, we're going to continue going through the off season for you guys. Just to let you know, next couple of weeks, we're going to start talking about the free agency as far as the Steelers free agents. Who are the free agents? Is it people that we think they should retain or should move on from? There's a lot to talk about with this, so we're going to cover that probably the next couple episodes and continue on with upcoming news. And then Combine coverage as well, anybody that we think really stuck out from the Combine in a week and a half here when that comes up.
Yep, and then we'll obviously get into our mock drafts at some point as well. So those will be coming as well. So again, we can't thank you guys enough. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Hit subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.